Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that you speak to us through it, and we pray for ears to hear and hearts to be open and your spirit to be at work with us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have heard last week a 48-year-old man died trying to rescue his two sons from a rip in the surf on the south coast. He tried to rescue his two children who made it back safely, but the police say he got into difficulties and he drowned. It's frightening when we lose control of a situation. I can identify with this story this week because I almost drowned at the age of 10 in a rip at a beach. I was fortunate enough, as you can tell, to be rescued. But the thing that stays with me forever is that feeling of helplessness. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt that, where you are in a situation where you know all of a sudden that there is no control in your hands. You are helpless or completely at the hands of others. And maybe that's where you are at the moment. Maybe there's a sickness in the family, a problem in a relationship, something medical, something difficult at work. Maybe there's something in your life that's been a long-term issue for you, and you're coming to terms with understanding that that is something you have no control over. Maybe you associate too with those feelings of helplessness. I think perhaps we all do at some time. But I want to suggest today that none of us are in control. None of us can really say, I am ready for anything. None of us can really even be prepared for what might happen tomorrow. None of us are in complete control ever, because none of us have power or authority over the things of this world. If we want to be able to face the challenges of life, whatever comes our way, then we really need to hear this story today about the centurion who meets Jesus. The centurion is a person who is facing a big challenge in his life. He has no power and no authority over the problem that he faces, but he is able to face the challenge because of the way he comes to Jesus. And whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, then the story of the centurion should give you three things to think about today, three challenges. Who is the real Jesus? What is our or your real need? And what is a real faith? I think that will actually get more challenging as we go through and look at this passage. So let's start with that question, who is the real Jesus? And I also suggest that a lot of people see Jesus as a bit like this guy, a bit like Santa Claus. He likes the good boys and girls. He has a list of who's naughty and nice, and he has little elves that we call Christians that go around spreading cheer around the world and doing his work for him. I think a lot of people have an idea of Jesus that he's a bit like Father Christmas, a bit like Santa. And if he wanted to, he could fly on reindeer, because after all, he could walk on water, right? So he's this magical sort of guy who can do anything and generally does good stuff. A lot of people like to picture Jesus as this sort of person. But the real Jesus, and if you read Matthew, you will meet the real Jesus. The real Jesus in Matthew's gospel is no Santa Claus. The real Jesus is a person of incredible power and authority. Power and authority. He heals the lame, the blind, the crippled, the demon-possessed, the lepers, and even raises the dead. He calms storms, he feeds the hungry, and he shows his power and authority over every single thing on earth. Most of those things we hear just in chapter 8. This is not Santa Claus. In fact, he's more like RoboCop or Gladiator. This is a powerful and authoritative man who walked on the earth and claimed to be God himself. The centurion in the story is may have looked something like this. He's also a man with authority. The name centurion doesn't mean that he can hit 100 in a test match whenever he wants, as some of you might be thinking. He's a military leader in authority over, guess how many people? 100. That's right, 100 soldiers, hence the name. The centurion knows what it means to have authority. He commands one man to go and he goes. He commands another man to come and he comes. He says to Jesus, I'm a man with authority. I know you are a man with authority. In fact, the whole world is under your power. And the centurion says to Jesus, my servant is sick. He's in incredible pain and suffering. But I know that you can command the sickness to leave. See, he's not looking for a miracle. He's looking for Jesus to exercise authority over sickness. It's a much better definition of a miracle, I think. A miracle is something extraordinary. A miracle is Jesus exercising authority over the things of the world. And he says to him, Jesus, I know you can command the sickness to leave, and you can. In fact, I don't even need you to come to my house. I don't deserve for you to come to my house. But just say the word and he'll be healed. And at that very hour, he was healed. Now, can you imagine having a doctor like that? That you don't ring up to make an appointment. You just ring up and say, hey, doc, I'm a bit sick. Can you just say the word? And he says, word, man. Be healed. No visit, no appointments, no medicine. No physical contact and you're healed. Can you imagine that healing? This is not Santa Claus. This is God on earth. He has authority over the things of this world. The centurion doesn't see Jesus as just some nice guy who's a good teacher with some magical powers. He sees a king with authority. But he recognizes something else, something really important hidden in those lines. He doesn't just know that Jesus has authority and power over the things of the world. The centurion also knows that he himself doesn't. The centurion comes to Jesus saying, I know you have the authority, I know you have the power, and I know that I don't. He recognizes his need. He recognizes that there are things out of his control and he needs Jesus. He recognizes that he cannot face the world on his own. See, it doesn't matter how much power or authority we think we have in our life. It doesn't matter how much we think we are in control. The reality is that Jesus is the only one who is supremely in control of all things at all times. What he shows us through Matthew is that everything is under his power and authority. So who is the real Jesus? He is the only one with authority over all things. What is our real need? Is to have Jesus' authority in our life, over our life. What does that mean? It means we need to have real faith. What is a real faith? A real faith is when we are prepared to come under Jesus' authority. When we are prepared to have him take authority in our life. What does that mean? Well, the centurion doesn't just say that he knows Jesus has the authority to heal. He says by coming to Jesus, Jesus, I do not have control. Jesus, I do not have authority. I can tell my soldiers where to go and what to do, but I have no control over this sickness. But you do. I am not in control. I have no authority. I have no power, but you do. That is real faith. Not just placing our confidence, our trust, our dependence, our belief in Jesus, but also not depending on ourselves. When we read a story like this, I think we obviously want to identify with the good guy. We want to identify with the faith of the centurion. We want to read a passage like that and say, I'm a Christian, I'm like the centurion with a real faith. Matthew is a harsh gospel. It causes us to say, maybe. Are you? Do you have a real faith? Are you like the centurion? Or are you like the others? We need to hear what Jesus is saying. In verse 10, you'll notice that Jesus says he is amazed at the centurion's faith. He's amazed at it. He knows this man and he recognizes that this man is trusting him and his authority over all things. And at this time, you remember last week we had the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount in front of a lot of people, and a lot of those people now are following him around. A lot of Jews who are from the people of Israel, who are God's chosen people, are following their Messiah, their King, around. And Jesus says to those following him, to his followers, have a look at these verses. When he heard this, the centurion's faith, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Now, the centurion's not a Jew, he's a Gentile. That means he's not a Jew. It means he's from outside of God's people. And Jesus says, in all of Israel, out of all the Jews that are standing right behind me, I have never seen faith like this centurion Gentile. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, that's from outside of God's people of Israel, and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, they will go to heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom, he's talking now, the people of Israel, Jews in this respect, the subject of this kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's Jesus saying to all the Jews following him? Well, he's not saying it of all of them, but he's saying of a lot of them. He says, a lot of you guys just follow me. It's all you do. You just follow. You don't have real faith, and it means you're going to hell. But this centurion, this Gentile, he has real faith. He actually puts his life under my authority, and he's going to heaven. Why does Jesus say it? It's because he wants us to know that it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or not. He's opening the door to the whole world to come and follow him. And he doesn't care about your family line. He doesn't care about your religion. He doesn't care about your religious practices. What he cares about is your faith and nothing more. Your faith. He doesn't care if you follow along behind him, live a good life and talk about him all the time. What he cares about is if you have faith in him, if your life is under his authority. There are plenty of people like those Jews following Jesus who sit in Christian churches today who are going to hell. That's what Matthew brings for us. Booking a place in one of these pews on a Sunday doesn't book you a place in heaven. Many people we sit among in our Sundays in churches will find themselves away from the love of God forever because they follow without faith. They imitate Jesus without trusting him. They say they believe in Jesus, but they go on trusting themselves for all their decisions in their life. What part of your life comes under Jesus' authority? What part of your life is submitted to him as king? What part does he rule over? Is your marriage under his authority? Are your morals under his authority? Your finances, your work, your time, your future plans, your health? Following Jesus isn't about being in a Christian family. It's not about going to church. It's not about saying the right creeds. It's not about how much you give in your time, your money. It's not about how much you pray or read the Bible. Shock, horror. It's not about those things. Following Jesus isn't about being religious or spiritual or pious or devout. It's not about knowing more. It's not about doing more. It's about real faith in Jesus and not in ourselves. It's about recognising Jesus' authority over all of our life. Now, you might be fairly comfortable in your life at the moment. I don't know where you stand. Maybe everything's going well. Maybe you're ticking all the right boxes as a follower of Jesus, following the right path, maybe even doing all the right things. Maybe there's nothing out of control. Maybe your finances are good, your relationships are okay. Maybe you're getting by following the teachings of Jesus. You read your Bible well. You're actually going pretty well, feeling pretty strong. Praying, getting to church. The question Jesus still wants to ask you is your whole life under his authority? Maybe today this passage is a reminder for you that everything in your life has to come under his authority. Everything. Things might be going really well for you. But that doesn't mean you can stop bringing things to Jesus. It doesn't mean you can stop putting things under his authority. If your life is fine, you might have a tendency to think, well, I'm obviously on the right path. I don't need to really bring this to God. Maybe you've become so confident running your own life that you've forgotten that Jesus demands authority over your life if you want to be in his kingdom, your whole life. Maybe you're intentionally not bringing things under Jesus' authority. Maybe you don't want to listen to what he has to say to you. Maybe you know the answer you get from God might not be the one you want. So maybe there are parts of your life you are just not handing over to him, not committing to him. Well, then today, let me suggest that you might need to be reminded of who God is. God is your loving Heavenly Father. He's not the father who abused you as a child, and he's not the boss who wants to make life difficult for you. He's not the bully in the playground who wants to see you suffer, and he's not the preacher that wants to suck the joy out of your life. God is your loving Heavenly Father who not only wants the best for you, but he knows what is best for you. That's why he calls you to come under his authority. Not because he wants to make your life difficult, but he wants to make your life whole. Are you following? Are you following Jesus? Or are you actually being faithful? Is your life under his authority?